the American people can succeed.
And what we're seeing right now is, in my view, a trickle-down government approach, which has government thinking it can do a better job than free people pursuing their dreams. And it's not working.
Instant polling and pundits agree Mitt Romney won the debate. Here's NBC's David Gregory.
It does remind me a little bit of Bush Kerry 2004, an incumbent who falls into that trap of saying, look, I know this material I've actually governed, and doesn't seem quite as sharp.
Well, Miguel Cabrera joins baseball's elite. He's the first Triple Crown winner in 45 years. This is NBC News Radio. There's another tropical storm in the Atlantic. It's the 15th named storm this year. Oscar is headed away from land, moving toward the open Atlantic. And while we're still in the final month of the hurricane season, how's this for something completely different? It's snowing in Minnesota and North Dakota. Here's meteorologist Belinda Jensen with NBC affiliate Care TV in Minneapolis.
A couple spots could see 6 inches. The best chance of it looks like it'll be in northeastern North Dakota. The winds are packed in there. It is going to be a windy, cool, the snow falling off and on through Friday.
Chicago public school teachers have approved their new 3-year contract. They went on strike for 7 days last month. And Deep Purple, Public Enemy, and NWA are some of the first-time nominees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. 15 artists are vying for entry, including Hart and Joan Jett. The winners will be honored next April in Los Angeles. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, AccountTemps is looking for you. AccountTemps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, AccountTemps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And AccountTemps could get you working in as little as 1 day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
Throughout the morning, we get the report card from retailers. Many of the nation's big store chains are posting their September sales. Analysts are looking closely for whether the back-to-school shopping season had a strong finish, in part because retail companies pushed the beginning of back-to-school promotions to earlier this year than ever before. Already, we have heard from Costco, sales at locales open at least a year increased 6% versus September last year. That is a bigger-than-expected increase. During the economic downturn, many of the nation's strip malls lost their shirts financially, and many are not getting them back. Real estate researcher Reese reports there is still suffering in the strip mall business, with vacancies remaining at highs that we have seen throughout much of the recession, although larger regional malls are showing signs of bouncing back. Stock futures higher. S&P futures right now gaining 4 points. NASDAQ futures up 9. Dow futures rising 31. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. Our country was founded by and still celebrates self-starters who get things done on their own. And I see that independent spirit today in the small business owners we rely on to keep our lives running. But who do those small business owners rely on? Simple. The UPS store. Small business owners know that the UPS store in their neighborhood is locally owned, it's convenient, and can help with all of their packing and shipping needs. And the UPS store can help to promote their business with professional printing services for things like brochures, flyers, even posters. With their mailbox services, the UPS store can also sign for packages and send a text or email when they arrive. So no more waiting around for that important delivery. Perhaps the best thing the UPS store does is give small business owners the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for these self-starters, that sure does feel reassuring.
The UPS store is open on Columbus Day for all your packing and shipping needs. We love small businesses. We love logistics. To find a location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-650-1570. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-650-1570 and get your free catalog. 800-650-1570. That's 800-650-1570.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and/or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
And a good early Thursday morning. It is the fourth day of October 2012. How many of you have a post-debate hangover? Yes, some of you stayed up late, some of you didn't. We're certainly going to get to all of that. There's no question that we'll be talking about debate last night between President Barack Obama and former governor of Massachusetts, Willard Mitt Romney. We'll save that for a little bit later on, but there's certainly plenty to discuss. And all of the trappings that go with it, including fact-checking, which I don't think is going to matter a whole lot today to those on the right side of the aisle. I don't think they care a whole lot about facts. They just care about how we looked. Well, if that's going to be the measuring stick that we use, then you're probably going to want to turn to another station in just a bit. But we'll get to that. I assure you we will get to all of that. But we do have a great show lined up for you today, and really looking forward to presenting it to you as I always do. I do, though, want to stop and again say thanks to all of you who contributed to our Planned Parenthood fundraiser yesterday. That was quite an extraordinary experience. I think we all walk away from it enlightened, educated, and entertained. So we actually got all of the categories covered during the show yesterday, but for those of you that took a few dollars out of your pocket to support Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan, I know they are grateful, so thank you from them, and thank you from me as well. Now, we will, by the way, be doing this again in the spring, and just so happy that we were able to help them out just a little bit yesterday. You can continue to donate at any time at miplannedparenthood.org, miplannedparenthood.org. All right, our lineup for today, with the exception of one, are all our regular Thursdays. And, of course, the second half of Thursday is always Labor Day here on First Shift. But we begin in the 7 o'clock hour with MIRS News Service and MLive.com journalist Susan Demas, who would like to talk about the debates, I'm sure, and some other assorted items as we work through our half hour with her. At the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour, Bill Vlasic will be joining us. Bill is the Detroit bureau chief for the New York Times and author of a book now out in paperback titled Once Upon a Car, The Fall and Resurrection of America's Big Three Automakers, GM, Ford, and Chrysler. It reads like a suspense novel, making it more intriguing because, of course, it happens to be true. The paperback edition does have some updates to it, And I'm sure that Bill Vlasic will also have a thought or two on the debates. In fact, we'll be asking everybody about it today. David Hecker, the president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. And then Chris Mihalakis will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour via telephone today, as he has obligations that keep him from the studio, but we'll take him any way we can get him. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to punch in.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, you know, there were lots of nominees for first word today, but I'm going to try to keep it on the up and up because I'll use a lot of the other nominees a little bit later on in the show today. Achievement is our first word today. We can really apply that to lots of different things. And as Anthony and I will talk about in just a few minutes, Miguel Cabrera, the Tigers' third baseman, achieves something quite extraordinary for the first time since 1967. He has captured the Triple Crown in baseball. It's not an easy thing to do, which is why it hasn't happened since 1967. And in fact, many thought it would never happen again in the history of baseball. Well, it did last night, and the good folks of Kansas City gave him his due. We'll get to that momentarily. But when we talk about achievement, achievement isn't just about capturing something. I don't want to leave achievement as an ordinary word. Achievement really should be saved if you're going to use it for something special. To achieve something means you have worked in an extraordinary manner in order to garner a certain level of expectation that exceeds what someone thought you could do. So let's look at it in that regard. Let's use achievement in a very special way. Just as you achieve a degree, whether it's graduating high school or college or getting a PhD or a master's, that's an achievement. An achievement is really a step higher on the rung of the ladder of life that you thought maybe you'd never reach yourself. And I tell you this, I've said this and thought it for years. You know, the only goal you don't attain is the one you don't go after. And so when you achieve a certain level of success, of accomplishment, well, you should be recognized for that, even if you're the only one doing the recognizing. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's not about ego, folks. It's about achievement. And so as we look at our first word today, keeping it all on the positive, it is, of course, achievement. So that's our first word. All right. Certainly, Anthony, as we talk about achievement, Miguel Cabrera immediately came to mind as I was thinking about our first word today. How can you not just bask in the glow of what is one Miguel Cabrera?
Oh, just awesome. I was driving home, and I just happened to pull up to the house, and I was listening to it on the radio, and then that's when they sent Santiago in, and the way they explained it was he came off the field and kind of shrugged his shoulders, like, what's going on, you know, why are you taking me out? And I thought it was funny that he was so modest about it.
Well, it is. Let me start with this, because I don't know if you're aware of this. They almost sold out the baseball game in Kansas City last night. They sold almost 13,000 seats yesterday afternoon for last night's game. Anthony, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, once you buy a $20 ticket to go witness history.
Oh, absolutely. But you got to keep in mind now, they're out of town. So it's not the hometown crowd. And this crowd gave him an ovation as if he were one of their own. You've got to say that the Kansas City Royals fans are a classy group of people.
Yeah, that was very nice to see, especially from a divisional rival, even though they're not that relevant, but still.
Yeah. So, again, 1967, the last time this happened, and reading about it this morning, a lot of experts thought that nobody would ever achieve the Triple Crown again. Think about, Anthony, and I ask the audience to think about how difficult it is over the course of 162 games to be the leader in RBIs, runs batted in, to be the leader in home runs, and RBI. And you stop and think, I'm sorry, an average. You stop and think about 162 games. And you have to stay healthy for that. You have to, and you have to be beyond consistent, rock steady for an entire year. Wow. I mean, it really is quite a feat.
I really think the impressive part is the batting average, because a lot of guys have the power numbers, the home runs, and the RBIs, but a lot of them, you know, they strike out a lot and they hit, you know, 260 because they're swinging for the fences. I think it's impressive that he can still hit 330, hit 40-plus home runs and 130 RBIs. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, this was last week. Miguel Cabrera said that one of the reasons he was even in the hunt is because of Prince Fielder, that he was getting better pitches than he got last year. No disrespect to Victor Martinez, but he was getting, and you know, I think he had a record amount of walks last year, did he not?
Right, right.
So, you know, that helps when you've got somebody like Prince Fielder right behind you. People are gonna have to pitch to you. So that I see how that would help him achieve. But at the same time, you know what? They may be pitching to him better, but he still has to hit the ball, and it still has to fall on the ground.
Right. This is the exact argument somebody made yesterday on ESPN was, yeah, Prince Fielder's batting behind him, but you still got to put the bat in the ball, and you still got to hit it out and do all that stuff.
Well, of course, now the conversation. And by the way, the Tigers did win their season closer last night, 1-0. Don't necessarily like the score. I'm glad we won, but it shows that we're still struggling offensively a little bit. But we'll let that go for now.
Well, was everybody fully excited to go play that game?
Probably not. Right. I would suggest that maybe the first few innings. But they pretty much knew when the game started, with the exception of the home run part of it, that Miguel Cabrera pretty much had this in the bag. I think that's fairly safe to say, right?
Yeah. Except for you seen yesterday afternoon, Granderson actually hit two home runs.
Right.
He almost came within contention of Miggy, which I thought was funny.
Well, it was funny. Of course, he would have needed four home runs to pass him, which would have been almost impossible, but not necessarily impossible. Let's take a break. We'll come back to this on the other side. Don't worry, folks. We got plenty of time to talk, debate. Trust me, we do. I'm not trying to avoid anything. I got more than my fair share of opinions. This is First Shift on this Thursday morning. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break. We'll be back right after this. Thanks for punching in. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, and we're just following one problem. It's in Monroe Charter Township. North Monroe Street, both directions between Stewart and Mall Road, that's closed due to an overnight greenhouse fire, and expect that to be remain closed for another several hours. Got road construction on Ann Arbor Road, both directions at 275, and 26 Mile Road to the ramps in 94 eastbound, that's closed until 4 o'clock today. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 76. Tonight, late showers and a low of 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 58. And it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock, we go back to Anthony as we now kind of take a look ahead. The Tigers will be playing the Oakland A's, Anthony, in the first round of the baseball playoffs. And you got to stop and think what Oakland did this year, which is just fantastic. I mean, it's just amazing what they accomplished. But really what they accomplished the last, 2 weeks of the season is miraculous.
Yeah, they were down by, five with nine games left?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And, of course, they came around to beat Texas. Now, Texas is doing the one-game playoff Friday, right?
Yeah, which is awesome because now they got a chance to get eliminated. And now if they win, then they got to go play the Yankees. So the Yankees and the Rangers are going to beat each other up, and that's just better for us.
Yeah, that is better for us. So we do know that Oakland will be our first round opponent. You want to handicap that one? What are your thoughts on that series?
I'm making a bold prediction. Brandon Inge is going to naturally heal, and he's going to hit five home runs in the series and lead the A's to the World Series.
Okay. On a serious note, that's not going to happen, so let's try a real one.
I just think, against anybody in a five-game series, I think we got the advantage because we got Pfister, Scherzer, and Verlander, and that's just tough to beat no matter who.
One of the nice things about a playoff series is Verlander, who will be starting game one, unless he gets hurt, Anthony, is certainly more than ready to pitch two games in a five-game series. So it's not bad to have him out there twice, and as we saw what happened last year when the weather got in the way of one of Verlander's starts, it did severely affect that series against the Rangers, and unfortunately we didn't recover from it. But I don't know. Do you think the Tigers have a good chance of going all the way to the World Series?
Anybody has a chance. If we beat the A's, I would like to play the Yankees. I don't know about Texas. They seem too tough for us. I don't know.
All right. Well, who is Texas playing in that playoff game?
Baltimore.
So Between the two, yeah, I'd rather have Baltimore, although we did okay against Baltimore this year. I mean, not great, but we did okay.
I think they did beat us up a little bit, but I mean, that doesn't bother me too much. I still think we're a better team than they are.
Well, as we found out last year, it's not your regular season record, Anthony, that matters. It's what you actually do in the playoffs that matters, so... we will wait and see what happens. But congratulations to the Detroit Tigers. Congratulations to Miguel Cabrera on winning the Triple Crown. By the way, they did unveil a Triple Crown logo last night that was specifically designed for Miguel Cabrera. Chances are you'll be able to buy that this morning somewhere. I can only imagine that's true knowing Major League Baseball. In fact, I'm on MLB.com's mailing list. I'm surprised I haven't gotten the email already, but yes, it will be available. By the way, Miguel Cabrera's Triple Crown victory yesterday made national news. There isn't a serious news site in the country today that isn't running the story about Miguel Cabrera's, so Detroit positively in the spotlight this morning. All right, well, we now, of course, need to turn our, and tomorrow we'll be doing our football picks for the weekend. Lions, by the way, have a bye this week, so it'll be just college tomorrow. But we now, of course, turn our attention to the debate last night between President Barack Obama and former Massachusetts Governor Willard Mitt Romney. All right, let's get it out of the way. Who won the debate? Well, I'm going to go with no one won the debate. Who had the better performance? No question Mitt Romney had the better performance. But the key word there is performance, and that's what it was. It was theater of the absurd. Those of us that play this game on a daily basis, as I do, as many of you do, know that what Willard had to say last night was so chock-a-block full of lies. I'm not saying distortions. I'm not trying to be nice about this at all. They were lies. He did a lot of lying last night and got away with it. And what really bothers me about that, listen, President Obama was not on his game last night. I don't want to spin this. I'm not going to try to say, well, you know, I just saw a guy on the news during the break saying, well, you know, he was rusty. He hasn't debated since 2008. BS. He was not on his game last night as far as presence. But really, is that what this is about? Is this about presence? Now, I realize, and I said this to open up, the very top of the show, I said this to open up. If you don't care about the truth and you're a Republican, you're pretty freaking happy this morning. If you do care about the truth and you're a Republican, you're pretty disappointed this morning. If you're a Democrat, you're confused. I think that's the best way to put that. I received lots of email overnight. I've received 5 or 6 email in the last 45 minutes. Many of you are just flummoxed. You can't imagine why the president seemed so, I don't want to say unprepared, but off his game. And we've seen him in so many different scenarios that, yeah, he was off his game. There's no question that's true, and I'm not going to sit here and try to spin it into something that it's not or something that I want it to be. We need to be honest about it. It wasn't his shining hour. It's certainly, you know, not something that he is going to – I assure you, he didn't walk off that stage and say to his wife, Michelle, or anybody else that was with his entourage, man, I just killed that one. No, he walked off that stage and said, wow, what the hell was that? Now, I'm gonna lay it all out. We're gonna open up the phones. Of course, you're all welcome to join us. We're gonna listen to some of the audio. But you're all welcome to join us. I would love to hear from some of you what you thought. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. So give us a call, and we'll be happy to put you on the air and talk about the debate last night. Now, with that said, and before we get to audio, which we're gonna do after the next break, it was at different levels very uncomfortable, but it was uncomfortable for me for a little different reason. And I'm not the only one that noticed this, I assure you. I am not the only one that noticed this. The moderator, Jim Lehrer of PBS, did an absolutely atrocious job of handling mostly Mitt Romney, but even the president at some point. Jim Lehrer really was shockingly bad last night. I mean shockingly bad, because this is a guy that's a veteran of a dozen presidential debates. He had no control over either one of them. Again, mostly Romney, who just ramrodded Jim Lehrer, who literally didn't listen to what he was saying, who continued to just, you know, Mitt Romney. And here's the other interesting thing about Mitt Romney. Last night, Mitt Romney was a moderate all of a sudden. Have you noticed that? Did anybody notice that he wasn't a conservative last night? Did anybody notice that, you know, he talked about, and again, he lied through the whole thing, but did anybody notice that, you know, he talked about the middle class a lot and he wasn't doing a $5 trillion, you know, tax increase, and which isn't true, by the way. If you go to his own website, what little facts there are lead anybody who's done the math to see that Mitt Romney can't accomplish what he said he can doing it the way he said he's going to do it, as the president pointed out. But Jim Lehrer was absolutely out of control bad last night, and I don't get it. 888-552-3595. Trust me, we got lots of time. We're going to get this done. 888-552-3595. Give us a call. Your thoughts on the debate. I'm Tony Trupiano. Good Thursday morning to you. Come on now. Chin up. Chin up. Not that bad. We'll be back right after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your roadways, and we're just following one problem. It's in Monroe Charter Township. North Monroe Street, both directions between Stewart and Mall Road, that's closed due to an overnight greenhouse fire, and expect that to be remain closed for another several hours. Got road construction on Ann Arbor Road, both directions at 275. And 26 Mile Road to the ramp to 94 eastbound, that's closed until 4 o'clock today. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 76. Tonight, late showers and a low of 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 58. And it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
One of the most important elections being held on November 6th doesn't even have a Democrat, Republican, Green, Libertarian, or other partisan on the ballot. Yet this contest in California will likely have a huge impact on national policy and on grassroots efforts to rein in the arrogance of corporate power that's running roughshod over too many Americans. That's why those powerful interests are going all out to win in California, bulldozing as much as $50 million into this one election, more than they're putting into some of the big money battles for U.S. Senate seats. What's the name of this popular populist candidate who's spooking CEOs of national corporations right out of their Gucci's? Mr. Right to Know. He's on the November ballot as Proposition 37. A citizen's initiative to require food conglomerates to label products containing genetically manipulated organisms. These GMOs, developed in the engineering labs of such biotech giants as Monsanto and DuPont, have had their DNA unnaturally altered and quietly slipped into hundreds of processed foods without even telling us consumers about the adulteration. Also, adequate scientific studies have not been conducted on the long-term impacts that these manufactured organisms will have on human health, our environment, and small farmers. So, a broad coalition of these people's interests came up with Prop 37. Not to ban GMOs, but simply to say that we the people have a right to know if the food and biotech profiteers have put these highly questionable organisms in the products that we put on our family's dinner tables. The people's proposal is a straightforward, easy way to empower every consumer in the marketplace and the corporate powers hate that. This is Jim Hightower saying, for more on Mr. Right to Know's California campaign, go to carighttoknow.org. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock, and we are talking debate. We're going to get to some audio here in just a minute, but before we do that, we are going to get to the phones. Our number again, 888-552-3595. Les in Detroit joins us now, and good morning, my brother. Your thoughts on the debate last night, sir?
Good morning, fellow patriots. Man, I was scratching my head halfway through the debate, and I'm saying, man, what's wrong with the president? You know, he kept looking down, and, you know, and he seemed like he was disinterested in what Mitt Romney was saying. I said, then I figured it out. He just couldn't have a guy. He couldn't look into a guy's face that was lying straight into his face, because he probably would have went over there and beat his behind. That's how I figured it out.
You know, Les, you say that, but there were quite a few people that, if you go online this morning, you're going to find quite a few people said that the president was absolutely stunned by the amount of lying Governor Romney was doing. And he really was taken aback by it. He didn't think that he would be so upfront and so belligerent in his lying, and yet we know by just going, you know, people don't have to take my word on it. They can go to the New York Times fact check page and read it all for themselves. But Willard really did quite a sales job last night. Now, if the truth matters and it all comes out today that Romney did himself a huge disservice, I'm just afraid it's not going to matter.
And I hope the American people, and I believe the president feels the American people are smart enough to figure out this guy was just full of double talk last night. You know the rhyming that he went on and the excitement that he had. I mean, this guy was floored. Like I said, he knew he was in trouble, so he had to come out. That was a desperation move. He contradicted everything that he'd been saying on the campaign trail. So I thought the president, just had look down because, hey, that was the best place to look. Because, you know, Jim, I forgot, where was Jim Lehrer at? You know, who was he? Well, he wasn't even there. Yeah, he had nobody. So the president wanted to come off looking like he wanted to beat his behind. I know he did want to do that, because I did. Because this guy was lying to the American people. Do we want a president that lies and he can't be trusted? Now, what was foreign policy going to be? If we hired Mitt Romney for the job, what would the foreign press say? What would the foreign people say about us in the world?
Well, they're already saying it. Les, thank you for your call this morning, and they're not happy if Mitt Romney would be president. 888-552-3595. Roger in Garden City is on the line. Roger, good morning. Your thoughts on the debate last night?
Well, here's what I saw. Mr. Split Personality show up. He's one thing today and one thing tomorrow, and severely conservative, and then he's a moderate, and then he's whatever. You never know who he is when he shows up. The worst thing about the debate was Jim Lehrer looked like Mitt Romney pushed him around like a mop. He had no control. He was supposed to be the referee in the ring, and he just let him push him around and tell him, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it was really uncomfortable. Roger, it was really uncomfortable. I think that Jim Lehrer just, if his legacy of moderating debates was good to this point, this is what will be remembered, and it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all for Jim Lehrer.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say, too, is don't let this thing fool you. I mean, a guy that can't show you 10 years of his tax returns, and he showed John McCain 20 years' worth, and John McCain didn't want them. So you got to know the guy didn't pay his taxes. you can't trust him. So, like I said, it is what it is. And like I say, he's Mr. Split Personality.
Absolutely. Roger, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Listen, I got plenty to say about this, and we're going to get to it. Feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. But I do want to share some of the audio. Kevin, let's cue up cut one and let it rip.
Governor Romney's proposal that he's been promoting for 18 months calls for a $5 trillion tax cut on top of $2 trillion of additional spending for our military. And he is saying that he is going to pay for it by closing loopholes and deductions. The problem is that he's been asked over 100 times how you would close those deductions and loopholes, and he hasn't been able to identify them. But I'm going to make an important point here, Jim. When you add up all the loopholes and deductions that upper-income individuals are currently taking advantage of, you take those all away, you don't come close to paying for $5 trillion in tax cuts and $2 trillion in additional military spending. And that's why independent studies looking at this said the only way to meet Governor Romney's pledge of not reducing the deficit or not adding to the deficit is by burdening middle-class families. The average middle-class family with children would pay about $2,000 more. Now, that's not my analysis. That's the analysis of economists who have looked at this. And that kind of top-down economics where folks at the top are doing well, so the average person making $3 million is getting a $250,000 tax break, while middle-class families are burdened further, that's not what I believe is a recipe for economic growth.
All right. And, of course, you got to give Willard Romney a chance to respond. This is what he said to the president's remarks.
Virtually everything he just said about my tax plan is inaccurate.
All right,
So if the tax plan he described were a tax plan I was asked to support, I'd say absolutely not. I'm not looking for a $5 trillion tax cut. What I've said is I won't put in place a tax cut that adds to the deficit. That's part one. So there's no economist can say Mitt Romney's tax plan adds $5 trillion if I say I will not add to the deficit with my tax plan. Number two, I will not reduce the share paid by high-income individuals. I know that you and your running mate keep saying that, and I know it's a popular thing to say with a lot of people, but it's just not the case. Look, I got five boys. I'm used to people saying something that's not always true, but just keep on repeating it and ultimately hoping I'll believe it. But that is not the case, all right? I will not reduce the taxes paid by high-income Americans. And number three, I will not, under any circumstances, raise taxes on middle-income families. I will lower taxes on middle-income families. Now, you cite a study. There's six other studies that looked at the study you described and say it's completely wrong. I saw a study that came out today that said you're going to raise taxes by $3,000 to $4,000 on middle-income families. There are all these studies out there. But let's get to the bottom line. That is, I want to bring down rates. I want to bring the rates down, at the same time lower deductions and exemptions and credits and so forth, so we keep getting the revenue we need.
All right, now, in that, and let me just kind of articulate this in a pretty simple way. First of all, I'll work backwards. He said that, you know, he saw a study today that said the president's going to raise taxes on the middle class $3,000 to $4,000. Nobody can find that study. No one has any clue where that study is, where it exists, who did it. But that's classic Willard Romney rhetoric, right? The best experts in the world, the best, agree that the $5 trillion line the president used is absolutely true. And the president actually points out a little later on in the debate, I don't know if that we're going to have a chance to get to it, if we even captured it, that the $2 trillion that Mitt Romney wants to increase the defense budget by is nothing they've even asked for. So he's giving them a blank check for $2 trillion. Somebody's salivating. You want to know why he did that, right? To get the military vote. Can't do it. We can't pay for his budget. It had be both revenue neutral by closing loopholes, which is what he said. And he says, you and your opponent keep saying this or that. Well, okay. They're saying it because it's true. And again, you can go. New York Times got a great fact check. You'll find it. Just go to NewYorkTimes.com. You'll find it. And, you know, everything I'm saying is verifiable. All right. Now, the last thing I want to say with regard to that last segment is, And Joe, let me bring you into this. If I were to say to you, I have three boys. If I were to say to you, Joe, I have three boys, and the one thing I've learned is they're liars. Because I think that's what he was saying, is kids lie to him, right?
Yeah, definitely. He was saying that his sons lie to him constantly, and he was making the equivocation that that's what the president was doing at the time.
Right. So if I'm one of his five children today, I'm going, yo, Dad, WTF, man.
Thanks for throwing me under the bus, Dad. I'm glad I could help your campaign as a speed bump.
I just don't understand the analogy. I really don't get the analogy. I understood what he was saying, that, you know, it's like what he does. If you lie enough times, people begin to think that it's the truth. Now, that part I got. But why he had to equate that to his five children kind of blows my mind, because I'm sure that my children have lied to me. I'm not pretending that they're any angels. But, Joe, come on. I mean, if that's the way you're going to make your point, by saying I have five boys, so, yes, I know this is exactly what people do, because my kids did it, everybody's kids do it. I mean, hello?
It really had no substance at all, other than bad substance. I mean, it kind of just fit his whole mood of the evening, of being really arrogant, putting everything off, and just, you know, handling the debate in any which way he deemed fit, like he was wielding a weapon the entire time and running around the stage like, this is going to go my way, you know. I'm straightening house. I'm the big CEO, the executive, the father of everybody. I'm talking down to the president like he was one of my sons. I mean, he just had this overblown swagger, if you will.
Yeah, well, again, it was just extremely uncomfortable. And I'm telling you, if I'm one of his kids today, I'm not happy with Pops. I mean, I'm really not. I don't think I'm nitpicking, folks. I really don't. He, later on in the debate, talked about, when they were talking about education, actually said poor children. And then he changed it, but he said poor, P-O-O-R. Wow. Anyway, we've got to take a break here. We're going to get back to the phones on the other side. We got a lot of audio. We'll get it in throughout the show today. Don't worry about it. 888-552-3595. A quick break here on First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thanks for punching in on this Thursday, October 4th. We'll take the break. Be back right after this short break.
The blind trust is an age-old ruse, if you will, which is to say, you can always tell the blind trust what it can and cannot do. You give a blind trust rule.
On 1310, WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. New SK Energy Shots. Powerful, pure energy. Available at Rite Aid, GNC, CVS, and your local retailer.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers
workers free to achieve the American dream.
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. Susan Dimas coming up at the top of the hour. Looking forward to her. Jamar writes me, good morning. The president had a problem with what that Romney didn't. I love this. He says that was that he was tethered to the truth. He goes on to say the other issue was that POTUS had to walk a thin line as to not be as aggressive as Romney because he did not want to be perceived as being an angry black man. And there's some truth to that. We know how racist too many Americans still are. Get over it. It's the truth. Well, I wish you wouldn't get over it. Actually, I wish you'd change it. But that being said, let's listen to a little bit more of last night's debate. Kevin, if you would, cue up cut three and let's go.
Well, for 18 months, he's been running on this tax plan. And now, 5 weeks before the election, he's saying that his big, bold idea is never mind. And the fact is that if you are lowering the rates the way you described, Governor, then it is not possible to come up with enough deductions and loopholes that only affect high-income individuals to avoid either raising the deficit or burdening the middle class. It's math. It's arithmetic.
Yeah, which is the truth. Of course, Willard Romney, and this set a pattern for the night, did the following. Cut four, please.
Make sure we're not blowing up the deficit.
Jim, the president began this segment, so I think I get the last word. So
well,
I'm going to take
you're going to get the first word in the next segment.
Well, but he gets the first word of that segment. I get the last word of that segment. I hope. Let me just make this comment. Let me repeat what I said.
Right.
I'm not in favor of a $5 trillion tax cut. That's not my plan. My plan is not to put in place any tax cut that will add to the deficit. That's point one. So you may keep referring to it as a $5 trillion tax cut, but that's not my plan.
Okay.
Number two, let's look at history. My plan is not like anything that's been tried before. My plan is to bring down rates, but also bring down deductions and exemptions and credits at the same time so the revenue stays in, but that we bring down rates to get more people working. My priority is putting people back to work in America. They're suffering in this country. And we talk about evidence. Look at the evidence of the last 4 years. It's absolutely extraordinary. We've got 23 million people out of work or stopped looking for work in this country.
All right.
We've got when the president took office, 32 million people on food stamps, 47 million on food stamps today. Economic growth this year slower than last year, and last year slower than the year before. Going forward with the status quo is not going to cut it for the American people who are struggling today.
All right, now let's. But listen, I wish I had nothing else to do in the whole 4 hours today except rip Willard apart. But that's okay. By the way, if you give a 20% tax break to everybody in the country, including corporations, and you close the tax loopholes and whatever else, all right, and exemptions, you don't come close, as the president says, to making that. Neutral. It's just not possible. And he says, I won't do anything that will add to the deficit. That's a lie. This isn't stuff that we're saying because it's inconveniently true. It's just happens to be true, as inconvenient as it may be. Our next piece of audio, cut five, is President Obama explaining the difference between how he and Willard Romney would balance the budget.
And this is a major difference that Governor Romney and I have. Let me just finish this point because you're looking for contrast. You know, when Governor Romney stood on a stage with other Republican candidates for the nomination, and he was asked, would you take $10 of spending cuts for just $1 of revenue? And he said no. Now, if you take such an unbalanced approach, then that means you are going to be gutting our investments in schools and education. It means that Governor Romney talked about Medicaid and how we could send it back to the states, but effectively this means a 30% cut in the primary program we help for seniors who are in nursing homes, for kids who are with disabilities.
Mr. President,
and that is not a right strategy for us to move forward.
Okay, and it's not a right strategy to move forward. Yep, got enough time. Let's get to cut seven. Go ahead and play it when you're ready, Kev.
I think it's important for Governor Romney to present this plan that he says will only affect folks in the future. And the essence of the plan is that he would turn Medicare into a voucher program. It's called premium support, but it's understood to be a voucher program.
And you don't support that?
I don't, and let me explain why.
Again, that's for future people, right? Not for current retirees.
So if you're 54 or 55, you might want to listen, because this will affect you. The idea, which was originally presented by Congressman Ryan, your running mate, is that we would give a voucher to seniors, and they could go out in the private marketplace and buy their own health insurance. The problem is that because the voucher wouldn't necessarily keep up with health care inflation, it was estimated that this would cost the average senior about $6,000 a year. Now, in fairness, what Governor Romney has now said is he'll maintain traditional Medicare alongside it. But there's still a problem, because what happens is those insurance companies are pretty clever at figuring out who are the younger and healthier seniors. They recruit them, leaving the older, sicker seniors in Medicare. And every healthcare economist who looks at it says over time what will happen is the traditional Medicare system will collapse. And then what you've got is folks like my grandmother at the mercy of the private insurance system precisely at the time when they are most in need of decent healthcare. So I don't think vouchers are the right way to go.
Yeah, vouchers obviously are not the right way to go. You know, it was interesting earlier on in the debate when they were having an exchange, and I don't even remember what the issue was. This kind of goes back to the Jim Lehrer debacle. Romney must have interrupted Jim Lehrer 70 or 80% of the time he spoke. The president did it a couple times. And I wasn't quite sure if this was Joe said earlier, he was trying to make himself look CEO-ish, and he did. He didn't make himself look presidential, but certainly a bullying kind of CEO. Yeah, I kind of got an idea of what it was like to work at Bain Capital. I truly do. Romney reminds me of the kind of person that will politely listen to you, and then as soon as you're done talking, saying, all right, are you done? Good. All right. So now let's move on. Because he's not listening. He hears, but he really doesn't listen. I want to be as fair as I can possibly be this morning. Not everything that President Obama said was 100% accurate either. But the nuances between what the president said and the actual truth are nuances. They're not tough to figure out how we got there. Mitt Romney lied. And there's a difference, obviously, between the two. Hey, it is what it is. Numbers are numbers. Real wonky, yeah. Uninspirational performance last night by the president. But if facts matter, and I suggested they do, well, anyway, we're going to get to more of it in the next hour. Susan Demas, author Bill Vlasic with the New York Times as well. Stay where you're at. Feel free to join us throughout the morning. Thanks for punching in on this Thursday. We're going to take a break. Enjoy what will be almost 80 degrees today. We'll be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch. Let's take a look at your traffic. You're accident-free, but you do have that closure of North Monroe Street, both directions between Stewart Road and Mall Road due to an overnight greenhouse fire. We got 26 Mile Road at 94, that ramp to 94 eastbound. That's closed through today at 4 p.m. Road construction, single lane closures on Ann Arbor Road, both directions at 275, and more construction on 94, both directions between 26 Mile and 23 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 76. Tonight, late showers and a low of 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 58. And it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Mitt Romney seizing the offense in last night's presidential debate as he and President Obama traded barbs on the economy.
My priority is jobs. And so what I do is I bring down the tax rates.
Governor Romney's proposal that he's been promoting for 18 months calls for a $5 trillion tax cut.
Republicans hoping Romney finds renewed energy on the campaign trail after what's viewed as a solid performance in the first debate. Both candidates back in campaign mode. Governor Romney in Virginia, President Obama with stops in Colorado and Wisconsin. A new report shows consumers are keeping a tighter grip on their finances, not as many falling into deep credit card debt. Card charges that are 30 days or more overdue have fallen to an 11-year low. And an early Christmas present from some of the nation's largest retailers, new jobs. USA Today says Walmart, Target, Toys R Us, and Macy's, among the companies adding 300,000 temp workers for the holiday season. This is NBC News Radio. Political pundits are having a field day with last night's first Obama-Romney debate. MSNBC contributor Howard Fineman says it's no secret the president found himself on the defensive.
It's a classic case of a president kind of showing up and figuring that because he's president, he gets extra points. It didn't work that way tonight, and it's a big wake-up call to the Obama campaign with 34 days left in the race.
Romney backers hoping the governor's debate performance will translate into votes. He is behind in key swing states. A done deal in Chicago. Teachers have approved a new three-year contract that includes a healthy pay hike and a new teacher evaluation system. That's the deal that ended last month's seven-day strike. On Wall Street, stock futures point to a higher open. And what do you do if the forecast keeps calling for rain? You sue the weatherman, of course. At least that's what a British tourism official is threatening to do, suing the state weather agency over what he calls incredibly pessimistic forecasts. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
In the nation, we can't make traffic jams or love handles disappear, but we can eliminate deductibles. You'll get $100 off for every year of safe driving when you add Vanishing Deductible from Nationwide Insurance. We put members first because we don't have shareholders. Call 1-877-NATIONWIDE today.
Nationwide is on your side.
Optional feature subject to eligibility, underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Max credit $500. Details and availability vary by state. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
It started with books, spread to general retail, became a player in the music business, is now a tablet producer. And next for Amazon, small business lender. Wall Street Journal reports Amazon's one-year-old division, Amazon Capital Services, is now offering some small merchant partners loans ranging from $1,000 to $38,000 at 1% interest. Back-to-school shopping season has looked pretty good overall for retailers, at least at the front end, as many chains rolled out their promotions barely after the last school year ended. This morning, we get the first look at how the shopping season wrapped up, many of the nation's big retail chains posting September sales results throughout the morning. Costco, as is usually the case, is out with its news early. Sales at stores open at least a year rose 6% last month. That is better than expected. Stock futures up. S&P futures gaining 6. NASDAQ futures up 14. Dow futures up 51. These are gains of almost 0.5%. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. Our country was founded by and still celebrates self-starters who get things done on their own. And I see that independent spirit today in the small business owners we rely on to keep our lives running. But who do those small business owners rely on? Simple. The UPS store. Small business owners know that the UPS store in their neighborhood is locally owned, it's convenient, and can help with all of their packing and shipping needs. And the UPS store can help to promote their business with professional printing services for things like brochures, flyers, even posters. With their mailbox services, the UPS store can also sign for packages and send a text or email when they arrive, so no more waiting around for that important delivery. Perhaps the best thing the UPS store does is give small business owners the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for these self-starters, that sure does feel reassuring.
The UPS store is open on Columbus Day for all your packing and shipping needs. We love small businesses. We love logistics. To find a location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as one day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change, and change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning to everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock, and the reaction is coming in by the boatload. Wowza, wowza, wowza. Interestingly, I have received quite a few emails overnight and this morning and throughout the first hour of the show, and of course the phones have been interesting. I have not heard from a conservative yet, and I don't know if that should scare me or not. And perhaps that'll change quickly, but a lot of interesting reaction, and we're certainly going to get some reaction to last night's debate from my next guest. So that we don't waste a minute of our time, can I have an introduction, please?
If you have been looking for real journalism as First Shift has,
then it will come as no surprise
that when we discovered Susan Dimas, First Shift made an extraordinary effort to make her one of our regular guests.
And as you will hear in a moment,
the main thing Susan cares about is truth and fortifying her profession as a journalist.
And toward that end,
First Shift hit the jackpot
as we welcome MERS and MLive journalist Susan Dimas.
And we do welcome Susan Dimas back to First Shift, and I know one thing for absolute certainty, she will pull no punches. Susan, I appreciate you joining us again this morning. Obviously, the first question has to be your thoughts on last night's debate.
Yeah, I thought that Romney won. I thought that he looked more confident. I thought he carried himself in a way that people would make him see him as presidential. I thought that the president was pretty subdued and didn't challenge him on some of the factual inaccuracies. I'm not quite sure why there's been the freakout there has been. Actually, let me correct that. I know exactly why there has been. You've got a Republican candidate that was lagging behind and almost out down for count. So you've got that side is jubilant this morning. And let's face it, Democrats kind of are very comfortable being pessimistic. And so this gives them a reason to worry.
All right, that's fair. Let me tell you that I guess I'm going to disagree with you on Mitt Romney looked presidential. I thought he looked very corporate, very CEO-ish. But I don't know that I would translate that into presidential. He was a bully at times. He was ignorant to the rules, ignored them. Obviously, as we've had a chance to fact check, I've been up since 2 a.m., Susan. I've done a lot of homework getting ready for today's show. And Mitt Romney has some explaining to do. My question is, and we're going to have to get to some calls, but my question is, as we look at this, are people really going to care about the facts, especially those that like Mitt Romney, or is it just going to be a lot of hot air to them?
Well, frankly, a lot of that depends on what the next couple days of post-debate discussion are. Is the discussion going to be all about, wow, Mitt Romney really surprised us, he looked really good up there, he's a good debater? Or are we going to have some discussion and say, well, here's what the candidates got wrong? And just in looking through the claims, it seems to me that Mitt Romney stretched the truth more, you know, especially when he said, oh, under my plan, anyone with a pre-existing condition can keep their insurance. Well, that's news to me. That's something he's never advocated for before.
Yeah, well, no question that's true. Let's take some calls. And first, we want to welcome Tom in Detroit to First Shift. Tom, thanks for giving us a call this morning. You're on the air with journalist Susan Demas.
Yes, good morning, Tony, and good morning, Ms. Demas. You know, if I had to mark in terms of one loss, I would say that Romney did do better on this one here. You know, he had the upper hand. But also, Romney did not look presidential, okay? Because to me, he came out there like he was hyped, and he would not follow protocol. Because he was the one who was trying, as Tony said, at times he was a bully, you know, in terms of dealing with Jim Lehrer. And, you know, like about the rules of the whole situation. But, you know, I was listening to some of the guys on MSN, and, I mean, Ed Schultz, he was livid. So was Chris Matthews. And, you know, they were talking about, well, where was the 47% and yada, 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 yada. I mean, you know, that plays fine, but how many times can you use that during the course of a debate?
Yeah, you're right, Tom. We have a lot to get to. Thanks for the call.
I
appreciate
it.
You know, Susan, you know, it is interesting. Let's talk about Jim Lehrer for just a moment. In the bigger picture, it doesn't matter, but Jim Lehrer did not look Jim Lehrer like last night. He really seemed to have a hard time keeping control of that format, and it was a format he should be very comfortable with.
I didn't understand that. You know, I've seen Jim Lehrer moderate so many debates, and I've never seen him get rolled like that, you know, by both candidates, frankly. It was almost as though you didn't need a moderator. There were very few questions, and he never seemed to be able to take control of the debate and get them back on track.
And again, I don't want our discussion today to be about Jim Lehrer, because ultimately it's about Mitt Romney and Barack Obama as candidates. But it was really, Susan, it was really odd. I didn't get it. I did get the impression, before we get to our next caller, I did get the impression that maybe, and I've been a part of candidate debates before, not at that level, but I was a candidate for Congress once. I've helped people prep for political debates. I got the impression that Mitt Romney practiced this a certain way, and he wasn't going to let anybody get him off his game. That's the impression I got.
Yeah, you know, and I think he was effective. He's clearly somebody who's good at debating, and he's practiced a lot for it. He also had like 20 debates in the primary, and he took control. And that's something that I think resonates with people. I mean, people aren't as concerned about, oh, did he follow the rules? He didn't come off as being that much of a jerk. If you listen to people's reactions, people like that he seemed to be in command of his positions and wasn't afraid to advocate for them.
Well, not everybody's a liberal like me, Susan. I get that. I get that. No problem. We're going to go back to the phones again if you want to join us. 888-552-3595. Mike in Clawson joins us now. Good morning, Mike. You're on the air.
You know, observing that, I think that Romney went to the broad brush and put President Obama in a position where he was fighting in the weeds. And to me, that's how it came out.
Well, I mean, as a strategy, Mike, then it worked for Mitt Romney, Susan, right? I mean, if that's what Mitt Romney's, and thanks for the call, Mike, if that's what Mitt Romney's strategy was, Susan, it worked. Mitt Romney then did win.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty hard to argue that Romney didn't win the debate. That seems to be the overall consensus. You know, we'll see how significant it is. And historically speaking, it's pretty rare for debates to determine a presidential election, but, you know, now debates are going on where we analyze them in real time on Twitter and Facebook, so, you know, perhaps this will have more effect than in the past. That will be interesting.
It will be interesting. I have to tell you, Joe and I were talking during the top of the hour break. And as, you know, I was really, you know, I've really been weighing all what this means. I mean, you know, I ultimately, if you're a mainstream Republican, and I really don't even know what that means anymore, but if you're a mainstream Republican, Susan, you're very happy with what Mitt Romney did last night. If you're a conservative, if you're one of those Tea Party people, you're not happy with what Mitt Romney said, but you are happy with what he did. If you're a Democrat, you're unhappy, period.
Yeah, but, I mean, face it, that's usually the case. In terms of the conservatives, the interesting thing to me is that, you know, with all the people that I was watching on Twitter, nobody was saying, like, hey, what's up with this new moderate Mitt Romney? This isn't the guy that we want. Everyone was saying, wow, this guy is winning. This is awesome. We've got a chance. So I think that's the overall feeling today, and conservatives will have to sort it out later if they feel like they can push him enough in their direction. Right now, I think Republicans are just thrilled that they seem to have a shot at this thing.
Well, I don't know if it gives them. And let me ask you that question right before we get to the breaks. And by the way, you've got the phone lines full now, Susan. But let me ask you before the break, do you think that a debate moves the needle enough that it changes this race? Are we going to see 3 days from now polls showing that Mitt Romney's now pulled within the margin of error in the swing states? I mean, do you really think it's going to make that much of a difference?
I tend not to think the debates do. Some of the polls were already tightening going into this, so I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see more tightening. But I will admit, on November 7th, I will be pretty shocked if Mitt Romney wins and everyone says, see, this was the turning point. You know, the fundamentals of this election still seem to favor Obama in spite of the horrible economy. But, you know, like I said, there are so many factors in an election. This could turn out to be decisive. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, we will have to see. And I got to tell you, it's going to be very interesting. We've got, of course, the vice presidential debates coming up, two more presidential debates. So let's temper our enthusiasm or lack thereof just a little bit. Susan, stay where you're at. We've got to take a quick break here. And we're going to do that right now. Kwame, Amir, Larry, Will, all stay where you're at. We're going to get to every one of you on the other side of this break. Folks, if you're getting a busy signal or you're getting our voicemail, call back. We will get to you as quickly as we can. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Obviously, this is a topic that's got your buttons pushed. I'm Tony Trufiano. We'll hear from all of you on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trufiano.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Just picked up the first accident of the morning. It's on 94 westbound at Little Mac Avenue, and it's blocking your left shoulder. Got slow traffic on 94 westbound between Little Mac Avenue and 12 Mile Road, and more slow moving traffic on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Roads. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly sunny and 76. Tonight, late showers and a low of 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 58. And it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio,
Collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is the first damage control crisis specialist in the country, Tricia Erickson.
That would have to follow the prophets and the 12 apostles, because then if he isn't a really good Mormon, he won't get to that highest degree of glory, which is the celestial kingdom, where he is awarded his godship so that he can get his own planet and lord over his kingdom.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
Ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest again, Susan Demas, journalist with the Mirror's News Service out of Lansing and a columnist with MLive.com. Susan, we're going to go back to the phones and welcome Kwame in West Bloomfield. Kwame, a pleasure to have you on the show today. You are on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I have to say, last night, after about 10 minutes of watching the debates, I turned it off and went to sleep. I was frustrated because I was looking at Obama. He wouldn't make eye contact. He looked timid. He never fought back. At least from what I saw, probably the first 15 or 20 minutes. And he was everything the Republicans say he is. And the problem is that the debates aren't about being an intellectual. It's about image. It's about getting ratings. And he's losing on that. And he's going to lose again on the next debate on that. Because now Romney realizes that he can outperform him. It's so saddening to me to see Democrats always fight when it's too late. I'm so tired of that. That's one reason I'm independent. Right now, the Republicans are making the case so that when they do steal the election using voter fraud and voter suppression that they're using, they're building the case right now, and Obama let him in the door.
All right. Well, Kwame, I appreciate your thoughts. You know, Susan, he does bring up an interesting something, certainly, that you said, as well as, you know, the Democrats are great at playing the victim, and they seem to be very comfortable in that. You know, they're, we know Obama's better than this. I mean, this is the shocker, is that this isn't the Obama that we know.
You know, I would say that Obama's strength has never been as a debater. He did beat McCain in the three debates. I thought he was pretty even. I thought even Hillary Clinton was probably better than him in a lot of the forms in 08. First debates don't have to be determinative of the rest of them. He could come back. He could wake up. You know, certainly there's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking going on at Obama headquarters right now. So I don't know that all is lost. I also don't think Kwame should be very concerned about voter fraud stealing the election for Romney in Michigan. We've got very low levels of voter fraud here. We've got pretty clean elections, so I think we'll be okay in this state at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Amir in Detroit. Amir, good morning. You're on the air with Susan Demas.
Good morning, Susan Demas and Tony Terpiano. First off, if those who are going to be reporting on these things actually report on facts, I don't care what Mitt Romney did. And I don't care what President Obama did. Mitt Romney lied. He's still lying. And he's going to keep lying. Just because you look commanding with your lies, to me, does not make someone be presidential or even win a debate. So if we truly want to talk about the issue and truly discuss what Mitt Romney said, then what he did last night is null and void because his issues and policies aren't going to help anybody in America.
Well, Amir, but you're...
And that's how I'm looking at it.
And I appreciate the call. And Susan is actually confirming what you said, that it depends on how this is dealt with in the media over the next couple of days. If this is... If the only story is Mitt beats Barack, yeah, then there's been a disservice to the truth here. But if it's, okay, now let's look at what was said, well, that's a different story. But you and I don't control that.
No, and the thing with debates is that it is a lot about optics. You know, most of the people tuning in are not like you and me and are reading articles on the two candidates constantly and know all of their positions. A lot of times this is pretty much their first introduction to the candidates besides the ads that they've seen on TV, you know, providing that they live in swing states. So, you know, the way the candidates come off is often much more important than what they're actually saying or how truthful they're being.
Well,
and you know, your caller is absolutely right that it's up to folks like you, like me, to fact check. But let's not be naive and say that it's only about the facts. It is about how people come off as well. People vote for people that they like.
Absolutely. There's no question that's true. It is not just about facts. And as I pointed out to everybody in the last hour, the president wasn't 100% truthful either. So
no.
That door does swing both ways. We go back to the phones and welcome Larry in Lapeer. Larry, you're on the air. Thanks for calling this morning.
Good morning, Tony. Morning, Susan. Couple things. One, the debate didn't change my vote. My guy, the president's got it and is going to keep it no matter what happens in the debates. A couple other things. They can take the liberal bias in the media and throw that out the window. You could see that last night and you can hear it today on the radio, with what's getting, talked about. And three, I do wish, because I watched the entire debate, some of the things the president would have expounded upon concerning Mitt's tax plan and what he was going to do. You know, if everybody was listening, he just told them, Mitt told them last night he was going to take their home mortgage deductions, their child care, their child deductions, all those types of things away from them. I don't care how you look at it. That's a tax increase for us folks that are sitting out here working for a living.
Well, Larry, I appreciate the call. Larry, I appreciate the call. We've got to move on. We're almost out of time with Susan. I do want to let the callers that are on the line know, stay where you're at. I will get to you. I'll get to you when I can. But, you know, Susan, listen to this reaction. You know, we although this is a call-in show, we don't do a lot of calls. We have a lot of guests. And look at what's happening this morning. I think that ultimately this is a good thing for both sides.
Well, you've got a lot of listeners who are very fired up and wish that the president had said, you know, certain things. And, you know, maybe that will be a motivator. I certainly think there's a lot of motivation on the other side. You know, people really think that Romney's in it and he can win it. So we might see a more passionate exchange the next time around.
And maybe that's what we need. Listen, if I were a Republican right now and I was in the same situation they're in and I'm looking at the polls and my candidate did what their candidate did last night, you bet I'd be happy this morning. You bet I'd be excited this morning. You bet I wouldn't care about facts this morning. All I'd care about is what you said, which is the optics. It looked good for me. And that's what I care about, Susan Demas.
Right. And I remember when I was interviewing folks after the Bush-Kerry debates in 2004, Democrats were in this position. And, you know, unfortunately, the election didn't turn out the way they wanted.
No, it didn't. And as you said, certainly in Michigan, it's not going to turn out the way they want. I can't fathom that Mitt Romney can come back from how far he's down in the polls at this point here in the state, Susan. And I don't care what he does, and if there were 20 debates, I don't think there'd be enough time for him to make that up. And he's doing so, and the president's doing so well in places like Ohio and Nevada, places that he really shouldn't be doing well, and he's doing extremely well. And as we said, this is one debate. Susan, we're just out of time for today. Sorry we didn't get to our other topics, but I'm actually not sorry we didn't get to our other topics. Thanks for your time this week. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Great, thank you.
Susan Demas, journalist extraordinaire. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Just picked up a new accident on 696 eastbound, just before the Lodge Telegraph exit, and it's blocking your right shoulder. Still watching that problem on 94 westbound before Little Mac Avenue. Accident has your left shoulder blocked. And we got slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75, and it's slow moving on 75 southbound between Big Beaver Road and 11 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 76. Tonight, late showers and a low of 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 58. And it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Connecticut Light and Power could soon be seeing strike lines. Jesse Russell reports.
The workers are currently voting on the most recent contract offer, but the union representing the workers, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 420, is urging members to vote it down. The union says the contract still doesn't address issues with staffing and overtime. The contract requires workers to be on call for overtime, but currently, workers older than 45 can refuse overtime. Instead, the union wants CLMP to invest in more workers so it can better cope in emergency situations. If the contract is rejected, it means a strike is automatically authorized. Workers are voting through Friday.
Proposition 32 in California would eviscerate labor unions politically by preventing them from donating money to political candidates. Backed by the Koch brothers, America Future Fund, and other rich conservatives, the measure would also prevent unions from using automatic payroll dues deductions to raise money for political campaigns. Art Pulaski, head of the California Labor Federation, says this is not intended just to hobble unions politically, but to eviscerate them. There is a major nationwide right-wing effort to neutralize the power of worker organizations to fight back politically. Pulaski says if they can do it in California, they can do it anywhere and everywhere. Teamsters President Jim Hoffa will be traveling across California October 4th through the 6th to help in the fight against Prop 32. The Teamsters say Prop 32 is aimed at crippling unions while still allowing corporate super PAC spending on politics to continue. One of the effects of this proposition is that it's diverting unions from other important actions in order to defend against this. California labor unions reportedly have raised $37 million to try to defeat Proposition 32. ADP Employer Services says that a revision of employment data suggests that 169,000 workers were added in September. The company says that increase comes mostly from small businesses with less than 500 employees. Of those with less than 500 jobs, it was the ones with less than 50 that saw the biggest growth. 81,000 of those small companies added jobs. Construction also received some long overdue good news, with 10,000 new jobs being added to payrolls. A new Hart Research Associates poll shows 54% of Americans fear that if Mitt Romney wins the presidential election, he'll further shift the U.S. Supreme Court toward corporations. That poll also shows a majority of voters believe that President Obama is more likely to appoint Supreme Court justices who will protect the rights of average people, not just the wealthy and powerful.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock, I want to let you know that we have rescheduled, or we are going to reschedule, the guest I had scheduled for this half hour. We have full phone lines. Certainly, the debate last night touched a lot of you, and so we wanted to respect that. So I want to thank Bill Vlasic, the author of the book Once Upon a Car, who we will get back on the show next week. And so there. So we're open lines throughout this half hour. 888-552-3595. My next caller is a very patient Will in Milford. Will, it's nice to hear from you again. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good, thank you. Man.
Hey, we've all been promised this Etch-a-Sketch moment, and I think we just seen it last night. We seen the Etch-a-Sketch debate. Romney swapped it up. I mean, I was quite baffled right off the first bit when he changed his whole tax plan right there in front of us. He did his normal flip, did a little bit of flopping, and he used some Karl Rove tactics and, you know, blamed Obama for using his own facts why he was actually the one doing it. And quite frankly, you know, I mean, I wasn't shocked by any of it. And once again, it did not change the way I'm going to vote. But quite frankly, it really disturbed me because it wasn't so much what he was saying. It was just how comfortable he was in, you know, stretching the facts, being confident about it. You know, first time we've seen him have that kind of personality. And it just really kind of scared me because that's exactly that same arrogant, boisterous use of, you know, lack of facts that got us into Iraq looking for weapons of mass destruction that we still haven't found.
You know, Will, you're a real smart guy. I trust your opinion, so I'm gonna ask you this question. Do you think that the president was just so stunned by what Romney was doing that he really didn't quite know how to respond to it, that they just didn't prepare for Romney coming out and just saying, you know what, doesn't matter what the truth is, I'm just going to sound like I know what the hell I'm doing?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I think he has to worry about coming off as an angry man. You know, that's something you hear about all the time. I also believe that it was his anniversary, you know, and you know how him and Michelle and how he's always put family first, so I'll cut him a little slack on that. But yeah, I was actually missed. I was actually like, what is going on? You know, how do you comment? And with the way as aggressive as Romney was, you would have, you know, and we've all been in those arguments, you know, between I'm a liberal, a heartfelt liberal, and I'll sure get in the mud with a strong right-wing individual. And you know how dirty and ugly that can get and how you have to raise your voice. And I just think for him to have taken over that debate, he would have really had to come really out of the respectful character that Obama has always
been. You make a profoundly important point. Well, thank you so much for your call. 888, he makes a really important point, 888-552-3595. Charles in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my friend. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Yeah, I very much agree with Will. And on the optics, I had the, you know, Obama looked better to me. I guess beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I think Obama pinned him down on his tax plan doesn't add up. Obama hit that repeatedly. And then Romney looked obviously evasive. I thought, I mean, it's sort of strange how different people see different things. I thought Obama wiped the floor with them, you know, on both on facts and on optics. So, Romney just looked terrible to me.
Well, and, obviously there are a lot of people, Charles.
He repeatedly hit him on the five. The main sort of issue was the $5 trillion hole in his plan.
And Charles, thanks for the call. There is a $5 trillion hole in his plan. And again, I people don't have to believe a word I'm saying. Just go to the New York Times this morning, check out the fact check page, and then deal with it there. Let's go to Keith. Keith, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. I wanted to say, looked like Governor Romney, he wanted to try to use words like trickle-down, which would be Democratic words, to put that on the government. Also, he wanted to use a line I heard Franklin Roosevelt about, if you tell a lie many times, people tend to believe it. So he was using Democratic words to try to get his message across. And as far as, and I listened to it on the radio. I did not look at it on TV on purpose, because I believe that what I heard was a lot more what Obama was really, really telling the truth, where Governor Romney.
You know, Keith, let me interrupt you for a second. I had somebody, Christine Berry at bloggingformichigan.com, sent me a note and said, if you listened to it and didn't watch it, Obama won.
Right. That is the truth. Because Mitt was using words like trickle down in his, like trickle down government, which some was spanking brand new that I never heard and was wondering what he was talking about.
Yeah, that made me chuckle a little bit.
Yeah, and then he was talking about if you tell a lie enough times, talks about his own kids, that someone would believe it. That's a lie from Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the 40s talking about the Republican Party. So it was really just a farce as far as I'm concerned. And
well,
Romney kept talking.
Interesting observation, Keith. Thank you for the call. Again, Christine, and now Keith has said that if you listened to it and didn't watch it, it was a different experience. I've been waiting for this call. Stephen Monroe joins us now. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Hi, Tony. I caught most of the debate, and I'm not overly excited. I think Mitt did win overall. I mean, from an aesthetic standpoint, he looked presidential. I think the president, looked kind of out of it and looked kind of diminished. But, again, I go back to look at that Bush and Kerry first debate and how Bush, I mean, you got a good comparison there. And the reason why I'm cautious is because Bush won, in 2004 based on that performance, which wasn't good. I mean, you know that. But I think the biggest problem President Obama has, the biggest problem is he has to defend a record that, in totality, okay, is just not a good record. It's hard to defend the record that he's got.
You know what, Steve? I don't even disagree with you. Listen, in any other election cycle, the economy hasn't bounced back. Employment hasn't bounced back. We still have lots of problems. We still have overcommitted ourselves militarily. I could go on and on and on. In any other election cycle, Obama wouldn't have a snowball's chance in hell of being reelected. But here we are, less than 30 days out of an election, and he's leading. How do you explain that?
How do I explain it? Because, you know what? He's a very likable guy. Look, I think he's a nice guy. I would sit down, if you'd will, and have a beer with him. He's a nice guy, and I think people want to root for a guy that they think is a nice guy. And I don't think anyone wants to see their president, quote, unquote, fail or not perform well. But, that's why he's, kind of where he's at. He's a likable guy. He's a nice guy. But as a president and the policies and the results that he's got, it's just not there. And that's how I see it.
Well, I appreciate it. We'll look forward. And thanks for your call, Steve. We'll look forward to both the vice presidential debate and the next two presidential debates that are coming up. Folks, quickly, my brother at the UFCW, Tom, is on our line. Tom, looking forward to seeing you tonight, my friend.
I'll see you tonight, Tony. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it myself. The comment I wanted to make, if you went on style, Romney probably won. But if you listen closely, Obama beat his ass on content. I mean, if you listened, he hit it well. He put it in the middle of his little rants, but the vouchers were there.
the property tax, taking that away was there. With the vouchers and leaving it to the states, look how well the states are handling things now. I mean, I just don't trust that to be a viable system. Good paying jobs were mentioned. He's going to create all these jobs with no plan.
Well, you know, this is the funny thing, Tom. I love to point this out. And in fact, if you go to the fact check page at the New York Times, it's the first thing they talk about, the 12 million jobs. They're already predicting 12 million jobs in the next 4 years, no matter who the president is. So how is it that Mitt Romney is going to own that statistic when it's going to happen no matter who it is?
Well, there was no mention of the pushback when Obama had the jobs bill going through, and the pushback where nothing can get accomplished or passed.
Why didn't the president say that? That's my frustration. Why didn't the president say, I've had a jobs bill before the very Republican Party that you want to represent? You want to talk about bipartisanship, Governor? Let's do it right now. You encourage your Republican colleagues to pass my jobs bill. If you really want to create jobs, let's do it.
And lastly, I'll say, I'm hoping Obama was giving him enough rope to hang himself, that he's setting him up for the remaining debate.
Well, we'll find out. Tom, I will see you this evening. Looking forward to that. By the way, I'm going to be hosting a dinner at the United Food and Commercial Workers Union Hall this evening, a Stewart's Appreciation Dinner. Anybody that knows anything about the union knows that Stewart's are literally the spine that holds a union together. And I cannot wait to be there this evening. Both Joe and I are going. Should be a pretty fantastic night. Yes, I'm staying up past my bedtime to do this. So, and glad to do it, by the way. Glad to do it. Joe and Brooks, stay where you're at. We've got to get to the break here in just a minute. I don't have enough time to get a call in before the break. So if you both will just stay right where you're at, I promise to get to you right away. If you'd like to join us, obviously we're talking about the debate. Everybody that's punching in this morning, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Somebody said, I'm whining. I'm not whining. I haven't whined at all. I've been actually pretty upfront and honest about how I feel. I'm not whining. I didn't call Romney names either. Sweet Jesus, what show are you listening to? Okay, Joe Brooks, and we got the phone ringing. Folks, this has been fun. Let's take the break. We'll come back, talk more about last night's debate. David Hecker at 8 o'clock. Lots to do. Don't go anywhere. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trio.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
At 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive?
are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union. Solidarity. Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, getting David Hecker up at 8 o'clock. We're going to go back to the phones. You've got the number if you want to join us. Joe in East Point joins us now. My friend, a pleasure to talk to you this morning. What's on your mind?
Well, probably the same thing that I've been hearing, but I had to call in and get my little rant in anyway.
You're always welcome to do that, Joe.
I wish I had been on the podium so that I could have exposed that lying, flip-flopping Republican for the fraud that he really is. And President Obama had every opportunity, but both Jim Lehrer allowed him to become both moderator and a debater. You know, the communists used to use that tactic. They would go in with a defector, then they would walk in as though they were the ones in charge and they were the ones, you know, running the whole show. And you just simply can't do that. Whoever coached the president did a most lousy job. The only thing that I can say is there are two more debates, and he better get some fire in his belly, you know. And you don't just stand there. Somebody told him, just go up there and look presidential. Don't raise your voice, you know. And I wouldn't have agreed with Romney on anything. Where's the 47%? Where's that obstructionist, racist Congress that he's dealing with? You want to know why I can't work with the Republicans? Because they vowed. Mitch McConnell said, this, and I won't use the word, we'll never do but one term even if we bring the country down. He should have pointed that out just like that.
Well,
and
Joe,
I appreciate it.
Listen, you're not alone. A lot of people feel the way you do this morning, especially a lot of the national pundits. We may never know why the president responded the way he did, but anyway, we'll move on. 888-552-3595. Brooks in Novi joins us now. Good morning, my friend. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you?
Good. Nice to hear from you again.
I watched it last night, and unfortunately, the president's Mensa skills did not rise to the top.
No, they did not.
No, but I'll tell you, you know, we got to understand we're still a month away. There is there's still two more debates plus the Ryan Biden debate, and as you know, a week in politics, especially presidential politics, can be an eternity.
Yes,
I've been saying for a long, long time that I don't think this president is reelectable. I personally never thought he was electable in the first place, because when history has time to reflect objectively on this man's resume and qualifications before he was elected, the reality will set in to many Americans that were swayed and wooed by the emotional rising tide of the expectations of Barack Obama. He turned out to just be another Democrat politician, a Chicago politician. He hasn't been a successful president. He's made a mess out of our country, and it's time to get a new guy in there.
Well, of course, is that new guy Mitt Romney?
Who else is it going to be right now?
And Brooks, with all due thanks for the call. With all due respect, of course, I profoundly disagree with everything you've said about the president. In fact, I think history will remember him as the exact opposite. They will remember him as being perfectly suited to be the president and perhaps the greatest president this country has ever known. So, yes, on that we definitely disagree. Donald in Detroit joins us now. Donald, good morning to you. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony. I got to tell you, I watched that thing from beginning to end. And I'm telling you, I think the president did a great job. I think that he held himself. I saw Mitt Romney at times get flustered. I saw him at times lose his thought process. I don't know what these people are talking about when they say Obama didn't do a good job. I really don't know. I don't know what standard and how they grade it. But I thought the president did a fantastic job.
Well, you know, that's one of the wonderful things about perception. Donald, thank you for your call is, you know, depending on your point of view is your point of view. Again, Republicans are very, very happy about Mitt Romney today. You're a Democrat that's very happy with the president. As Keith, the caller earlier, and Christine Berry at bloggingformichigan.com said, if you listened to it and didn't watch it, the president was awesome. So maybe Donald's right. I don't know. That's up to you. All right, let's go to Sonny in New Baltimore. Sonny, appreciate you giving us a call this morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning. You know, I know the president didn't look too good, but I think the strategy was he let Mitch come out and make all the claims that he does. Now you got two more debates and you got the vice president because everything he said is contrary to what him and the vice president actually believes. Now, the guy that's going to really walk out with a bag of pork chops in his hand would be Joe. Joe is going to have to tear up Paul Ryan.
Well, we know that he's capable of doing that.
Pardon me?
I said we know he's capable of doing that.
I appreciate that. But, you know, now Romney got to back up in the next two debates all the crap that he put out yesterday. And I really believe Obama was smart enough to give him enough line to hang himself. I really think that Obama set Mitt Romney up last night.
Well, I appreciate the call, Sonny. We got to get to one more. David Hecker's downstairs. If somebody go let him in, let's go to the phones and welcome Marcy to First Shift. Marcy, we're going to wrap up the hour with you.
Oh, okay. Obama won. That's Obama's style, okay? Obama is an intellectual, okay? And that's how he conducts himself. DoFactCheck.com. Romney hung himself yesterday with all the facts. He was hung. He hung himself.
I don't disagree with you. Marcy, I don't disagree with you. I think one of the challenges, as we were talking about earlier in this hour with Susan Demas, is whether or not the media will hold him accountable. And that's pretty darn critical. If they don't hold him accountable, well, then there's a real issue with the media on that. I can assure you of people like journalists like Susan Demas and others that do care about the truth will certainly be reporting the truth today. What the television media does, what people will do after they've had a little time to gain some perspective on this. I didn't watch MSNBC's post-debate analysis. I just didn't watch it. I can tell from the email that I'm getting from you guys that they were really, really hard on the president, especially Ed Schultz, Rachel Maddow, and especially Chris Matthews. And they were stunned. They were absolutely stunned. Now, I want to go back to something that happened Sunday. Sunday on Meet the Press, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said on Thursday morning that Mitt Romney's performance would turn this race upside down, that it would be a new day. Was he right? I think he was. And only in that the way that we're talking about it. But as Marcy said, and I appreciate everybody that has called in support of the president in this hour, I don't disagree with how you're feeling. I feel the same way. I don't know how the media is going to respond. I don't know how the media is going to report. And you know what? For us, facts matter. But at the end of the day, and I started off the show this way, if you're a Republican, you don't care about facts today. What you care about is that we're talking about your candidate as if he won. And that's all you care about. David Ecker coming up on the other side. Let's take a break for the top of the hour. NBC News coming up next. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Just picked up a new accident on 696 eastbound, just before the Lodge Telegraph exit, and it's blocking your right shoulder. Still watching that problem on 94 westbound before Little Mac Avenue. Accident has your left shoulder blocked. And we got slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75, and it's slow moving on 75 southbound between Big Beaver Road and 11 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 76. Tonight, late showers and a low of 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 58. And it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jimmy Klishevsky. Debating the economy, President Obama and Mitt Romney laid out dueling views of government during last night's first presidential debate, including a feisty exchange over the president's health care law.
Facing 23 million people out of work, rising unemployment, and spent his energy and passion for 2 years fighting for Obamacare instead of fighting for jobs for the American people.
We did work on this alongside working on jobs because this is part of making sure that middle-class families are secure in this country.
Both candidates portraying themselves as champions of the middle class, pundits give points to Romney for a more aggressive style. Health officials say a rare and deadly form of meningitis has sickened more than 24 people in 5 states with 4 fatalities. They say it's caused by contaminated steroid injections. Wall Street on the upswing, stock futures point to a higher open. And call him King Cabrera. Tiger slugger Miguel Cabrera has become baseball's first Triple Crown winner in 45 years, joining a list of legends, including Mickey Mantle, Lou Gehrig, and Ted Williams. This is NBC News Radio. Political pundits speaking out on last night's presidential debate and what's widely viewed as a solid performance by Mitt Romney. Democrat David Axelrod and Republican Ed Gillespie on NBC's Today Show.
What I said last week was that I thought he'd give a strong performance, and he did give a strong performance, but that's what it was, a performance. The American people want the honest truth.
What they saw was someone who had a command of the facts, who understands what we need to do to get this country moving again.
Republicans hoping an energized Romney can make up ground in the swing states where the president has been leading for weeks. Turkey says it's not giving any thought to declaring war with Syria, but Turkish artillery has been pounding nearby Syrian targets following the death of 5 Turkish civilians in a border town. And new polls show the heat is on politicians to address the issues of climate change and clean energy, topics that have been barely mentioned on the campaign trail. 80% say global warming is happening. 78% back federal incentives for solar energy. I'm Jimmy Klishevsky, NBC News Radio.
During the 12 Ways to Save sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 2 bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner and get one free. Clean and lubricate your fuel system while increasing miles per gallon with Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner. Buy 2, get one free during the 12 Ways to Save sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it works. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Proactive heals acne and helps prevent new breakouts. We're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers can try Proactive risk-free and get a free dark spot corrector just for participating. Plus, free shipping. Call 1-800-243-6665. That's 1-800-243-6665.
Two things have to happen for the nation's job market to get better. More people need to be hired and fewer people need to be laid off. Tomorrow morning, we get the latest on September hiring. This hour, word on layoffs. HR researcher Challenger Gray and Christmas out with its measure of September layoff announcements from both the public and private sectors. It finds almost 34,000 announced cuts, a 71% fall from September last year. In the coming hour, the Labor Department releases its reading of new jobless claim filings for last week. Analysts predict an uptick from the week before. We're getting reports of September sales from several big retail chains this morning. Costco reports sales at locales open at least a year rose 6% last month. Victoria's Secret parent Limited Brands says so-called comp sales were up 5% in September. Both of those reports are better than expected. Stock futures right now gaining. S&P futures right now up 7 points. NASDAQ futures up 14. Dow futures rising 50. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. Our country was founded by and still celebrates self-starters who get things done on their own. And I see that independent spirit today in the small business owners we rely on to keep our lives running. But who do those small business owners rely on? Simple. The UPS store. Small business owners know that the UPS store in their neighborhood is locally owned, it's convenient, and can help with all of their packing and shipping needs. And the UPS store can help to promote their business with professional printing services for things like brochures, flyers, even posters. With their mailbox services, the UPS store can also sign for packages and send a text or email when they arrive. So no more waiting around for that important delivery. Perhaps the best thing the UPS store does is give small business owners the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for these self-starters, that sure does feel reassuring.
The UPS store is open on Columbus Day for all your packing and shipping needs. We love small businesses. We love logistics. To find a location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Are you looking for a temporary job in accounting or finance? If so, Account Temps is looking for you. Account Temps offers a large selection of temporary employment opportunities, so we'll match you with the job that fits your skills. If it's full-time you're after, Account Temps has an excellent record placing our temporaries in positions that become full-time. And Account Temps could get you working in as little as one day. So, what are you waiting for? Visit us at AccountTemps.com for an office near you. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It's 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. That means Labor Day Thursday. Every Thursday is Labor Day from 8 till 10. That is true today as well. I want to thank all the callers in the last hour. Obviously, a lot of very passionate people, and understandably, it was an emotional night for both sides, and I can understand, I don't know, even the confusion, because there's plenty of that this morning as well. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it at 9:30, but as we always do on every other Thursday, we have in studio with us David Hecker. So, gentlemen, give me an intro and let's get going.
The empowering voice of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan.
Public education is so important, obviously, for what the children and the young adults learn. But it's beyond that. It's social interaction. It's learning how to conduct yourself in society, to deal with people who you agree with, disagree with, deal with people who you like, don't like. And it helps mold people into becoming a good, active, involved citizen.
In with Tony
is President David Hecker.
And joining me now is AFT Michigan President David Hecker. And good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Tony. It's great to be back in the studio.
I appreciate that. Very quickly, because we have a lot that we want to talk about today, but certainly last night, it wasn't a pivotal night. It wasn't a watershed moment, but there was a debate, the first presidential debate, one of three, vice presidential debate coming up. I think people are maybe overreacting a little bit, David.
Well, yeah, now I don't know how many people actually make their decision based on the debates. And my guess is people who do base it more on how someone comes across rather than what they say. I mean, you know, the president made great points. You know, Romney talked and said things which are just not true about his program. He may not want them to be true because they're not polling well, but he said things that were not true about his program. You know, we all know the distinct difference between President Obama, where he's been, where he'll take the country, and where Governor Romney will take the country. Romney did a good job in debating. I try to be objective as often as I can. He was very strong. He was well spoken. He really came across well, except what he was saying is, as the president pointed out, is not what his program is.
The never mind line was pretty
great. Great.
Certainly part of what was talked about last night was education. And it was an important conversation. For those that aren't really paying attention to that part of it, Mitt Romney said last night that he's pro charter.
Right.
He's pro even voucher, I would suggest. He is anti public education. I mean, that was fairly clear. And he actually kind of wears it as a badge of courage. That scares me a little bit.
Right. Yeah. He is what he is. He is absolutely pro voucher. There is no question about it. He'll say he's pro voucher. He doesn't use the term because the term doesn't poll well. But he says the concept that the state, the public money should go wherever the student goes. And that means he's pro voucher, pro undercutting public education. He has also said previously, not last night, that the only real purpose for the United States Department of Education is to go after the AFT and the NEA. And so the man is completely anti-public education, and he could, you know, sound as good as perhaps he sounded last night as far as style goes. But his positions are his positions. He's against working families. He's against public education. That is crystal clear from his record, and that's what matters.
Well, certainly the country can learn something from what we've gone through in the state of Michigan with regard to public education and a Republican philosophy. I think that Mitt Romney brings that same spirit to federal office if elected president.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's tied into something else, we were going to talk about today. And that is the new movie that is out. And I'm very happy to say has flopped, Won't Back Down. Another movie that's even worse than Waiting for Superman that we talked about a year and a half ago when that came out, which, you know, just paints a picture of public education, which is just, you know, total fictionalized, but tries to have it come across as this is what's really happening. And what you don't read about is that the major financial supporter of Won't Back Down is Walmart. So I'm shocked that the movie is, I'm using some of Barack Obama's sarcasm from last night. I am shocked that you know the movie is anti-teacher when it's funded by Walmart. I mean, they try to come across like this is a regular Hollywood movie. Well, Walmart doesn't get behind regular Hollywood movies.
Yeah, absolutely not, right? Because regular Hollywood movies are actually union. We're going to come back to that. We'll come back to that topic in just a moment. One of the things that was talked about last night is what is the role of the federal government in education. They did, again, have two very different philosophies. One of them was from President Obama, who talked about making sure that we fund education at the proper level to make sure that we've got class sizes that are in order, we've got enough teachers in the classroom. That's part of his jobs program as well. Let's talk about that. David, as we look across the landscape of this country, how are we funding education? Is there any equity? I've never quite understood. I know that there are districts in the state of Michigan. Some of them get more money, some of them get less, and I've never quite understood how we fund education.
Education is really not funded federally. There is important federal money that comes down. The largest amount of federal money that comes down is Title I dollars under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which most people knew the nickname under George Bush was No Child Left Behind, but it was ESEA that's been around for a long time. It was just made a lot worse under George Bush. So the federal government provides some money. Title I is basically to help out in low-income school districts. But the overwhelming majority of money, depending on the state, comes from the state or local. In Michigan, the overwhelming majority came from the local community and property tax before 1994. We changed how schools are funded since 1994, and now about 80% of school funding in Michigan comes from the state. In other places, it comes from the state or it comes from the local community, but the federal government is an important piece, but a small piece of the funding. And there are inequities all over the place. You know, the Huffington Post had an article the other day about Reading, Pennsylvania, a real, massive layoffs over 20, 30 years, a city that has had in dire economic straits, and no great surprise, schools are not funded properly there. And if you just look in communities in Michigan, it'll be no surprise what communities get more money for public education and what communities get less money for public education, and it's directly related to the economic standing of the community. Because while the money comes from the state, when they changed how we fund schools in 1994, they didn't just say, let's throw out everything we've been doing and start from scratch. They built on the system we had. So if the system we had said City 1 gets, $100 a child, much more, but $100 a child, and City 2 gets $50 a child, let's try to close that gap. But all they try to do is close the gap when and they did a little in 94, 95, 96, and then closing the gap ended then when what they should have done is said, everyone getting 50 a child, you're now up to 100, like that community is. No one wants the community getting 100 to come down. They need that money. So there are great inequities, and the reason prior to 94, one district, and I'm making up for discussion, very, very low numbers, get 50 rather than 100 is because it was based on the property tax of the community. So while a community like Detroit has been in those years and today, but in those years when local millages really funded schools were unbelievably generous, you're still, basing it on a very low property value.
Well, it's unfortunate, of course. We know that there are some districts where they get $7,000 a child. Other districts are getting $12,000 a child. And at the end of the day, we know that there are some serious problems in our schools. We know that, in my district, I'm in the Crestwood School District, as you know, David. A few years back, we passed what's called a sinking fund, which allowed us to do some infrastructure work. It allowed us to do some technology improvements. And these were essential. But in order to do that, it was the people that lived there had to vote for that. And the challenge is there are a lot of senior citizens in Dearborn Heights. They don't like to vote for tax increases because their kids have already graduated. Well, we were able to sit down with them. We went door to door and say, did your kids get a good education? Yes. Well, let me explain why. Because the people that were your age then voted to make sure that your kids. So I'm just saying, and we passed one. Not another one has passed since then. Mm-hmm. And we know, even though millages have been doing fairly well in every election, the school millages have not.
I always watch if it's a school district we represent people or not. I always look at those results on bond issues, in school districts, things we still vote on at the local, level, to see how they go. And in some communities, they do better than other communities. I know in the school district where I live in, which is Berkeley, which is North Oak Park, Berkeley and Huntington Woods, we know how the votes going to go. It's always very tight because some communities vote overwhelmingly for it and some parts of our school district don't.
Let's pick that up after the break. I don't want to drop this conversation. David Hecker, President of the American Federation of Teachers, is my guest. If you'd like to join us on this topic, 888-552-3595. We'll be right back.
Chip with Tony Trubino.
We're going to run out of time, and I just want to ask, what specifically are you going to do to provide universal coverage to the 30 million people who are uninsured?
That is not the issue.
On 1310
WDTW.
But you know, we're not going to turn the American people who are uninsured is an issue?
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, we're still following that accident that has your right shoulder blocked on 696 eastbound just before the Lodge Telegraph exit. And we got heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Whittier and Connor. Slow traffic on 75 northbound between 696 and 11 Mile, and slow moving on eastbound 96 between Wixom and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 76. Tonight, late showers and a low of 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 58. And it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, is my guest. David, we're going to go back to the bond issues. Certainly as we are looking to make sure that our schools have enough money to function properly, one of the realities of that, and, you know, I heard you speak on Tuesday or Monday afternoon at the Taylor Federation of Teachers, and you spoke about what this legislature has done to education funding. We actually had the vice chancellor of Wayne County Community College District on the show yesterday, the day before, talking about what the state legislature has done to community college funding. But education funding in general has really been traumatized over the last decade. We've got to find a way to turn this around, do we not?
Absolutely, and we start on November 6th. I mean, there's no we don't start on November 6th. We're doing it all now. November 6th is us and come down with the rain. But, you know, it's all who's in office. There's nothing, as everyone knows, you know, the country politically is so polarized. When I go out to our locals, and a lot of times I can't ask this anymore because people know the answer. I've said it too many times. I need a new shtick. But I ask people what the most important lobby day of the year is. And, you know, they're groping, not anymore because they've heard it. But and I say Election Day because in the Michigan House of Representatives, which, as listeners know, are 110 representatives, at the end of the day, when the results are in, you know, we're going to know 40 people who are with us regardless because they're just great people, believe in working families, believe in public education. We know there are 40 people who aren't going to vote with us regardless because they're so anti-working families, anti-public education. And then, you know, then there are a few up for grabs. Well, if at the end of Election Day on November 6th, there were 56 who were with us just about regardless because they're such strong supporters of working families and public education, that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, the number of votes you could move during the year when you lobby are key votes, but really not very many people because it is such a polarized situation. So what we're able to do to enhance funding for public education a long way comes down to Tuesday. And in Michigan this year, if people who support public education win, take back the House, the Democrats take back the House, we don't control state government. We still have a governor to deal with and a state senate to deal with. But if people support public education, take the House, we're going to do a little bit better funding-wise, because there are going to be deals that are going to have to be cut between the governor, the Senate, and the House. If we don't take the House and the government remains in the hands of people who don't really care that much about funding public education, you know, it's going to continue to be devastating, if not worse.
Well, and that really is one of the challenges. I've recently heard both the presidential challenger, Mitt Romney, and the vice presidential challenger Paul Ryan recently say, we believe in education where the money follows the students. And I want people, because people are going to hear a lot of that. What they're saying is that public education money shouldn't necessarily stay in public education.
That's right.
There's a cost to that beyond just that money for that child. And as you have talked about on this show, let's say I send my child to a charter school. Not all charter schools are bad. We've talked about that, David.
Right.
But let's say I send my child to a charter school. I'm 3 weeks into it. They've had their head count. They're getting that check for my kid. And all of a sudden they go, you know, we were a whole lot better over here at Kennedy Junior High. I'm putting my kid back over here. Where does that, money follow the kid?
Well, that's one positive change that has happened. The answer to that now is yes. It used to supposed to happen, but it didn't happen. But now it's more likely that money will the child who comes back, like a few years ago when in October sometime a charter school with 300 children closed their doors. And so to the credit of the unfortunately late but past superintendent of DPS, Ken Burnley, he himself with his staff went down to that charter school and said, okay, parents, let's go. Let's sign them up for DPS. So it's more likely that the money will now follow that child to another public school district, which it should. But again, what Romney and Ryan are talking about is their pro voucher. They don't use the term because it doesn't poll well, and it doesn't poll well for a reason. But money filed the child. Romney and Ryan aren't talking about if you go to DPS and then your family moves to Dearborn, so you're in the other DPS. What they're referring to is taking money out of our public schools, undercutting the 90% of our children in our public schools to pay for private education. And private school education is a fine, excellent thing to do, but the public should not be funding it at the expense of 90% of the students who go to public schools.
Couldn't agree more. So we're going to, for a few minutes, I think we should have this discussion. Instead of putting in, and I know this is going to sound like I'm throwing a softball at you, but it's a discussion we should have. For all intents and purposes, if we took all the energy and money and I'm just going to stay recent with this legislature by expanding charter schools, by allowing cyber schools, and I'm not even saying there's not a need for that, but let's set that aside for just a moment. If we would have taken all that energy and all the money that is now coming away from public school and put that into improving public school, David, would we not see an exponential increase in productivity and intelligence and test scores?
Well, you would absolutely see an increase in student outcomes and enhancing the education that's provided, because it costs money. You'd have smaller class size. You know, you'd have enhanced technology. You'd have enhanced infrastructure. You'd have all those things, and you know the people on the other side of thinking the way you and I think, you know, like to talk about think those things don't cost money, but things cost money. I mean, there's no way around it. You want smaller class sizes, use more teachers. You want up to date technology, costs money. You want a brand new building for every child, not just those who go to the new Martin Luther King in Detroit or the other new schools in Detroit. Every child should have a school that infrastructure wise is like that. That costs this money. There's no way around that. And you know, I referenced this Huffington Post article from the other day. 35 states today spend less on education than they did before the current recession began. 35 states spend less on our children's education.
Wow.
And then we have a Prop 5 out there, which, as your listeners know, would require two-thirds of the state legislature or a vote of the people to raise taxes. So you have Prop 5 out there, supported by Manny Maroon, because he doesn't want any money at all spent on another bridge, because that'll take money out of his pocket, which is all he cares about. If Prop 5 passes, you know, raising more money for schools will be close to impossible.
All right,
so we need to oppose Prop 5.
Another quick break. We've got other topics to get to, and we will do that. If you, again, like to join us, you've got the number. Email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Let's take a quick break. We continue with David Hecker right after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Inside of your rush hour commute, we picked up an accident on 96 eastbound at Wixom Road. It's blocking your left lane. And on 696 eastbound at the Bermuda Hilton exit, accident has your right shoulder blocked. We got slow traffic on 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 8 Mile. More slow traffic on 94 westbound between Cadieu and Van Dyke. And slow moving traffic on 96 eastbound between Newburgh and Farmington Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 76. Tonight, late showers and a low of 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 58. And it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Steve Griffins, president and CEO of Veritas Entertainment.
Well, I think they're trying to defend the freedoms that we take for granted here in this nation. And this is not a Democrat or a Republic, a conservative or a liberal. This is about freedom. And I think freedom is something that we overlook because we've got bigger issues like the budget to deal with, or we've got this political race to deal with. But what undergirds this great nation, in my opinion, is freedom. And that's freedom for your neighbors that you break bread with, and that's freedom down here in the South, for the people that want to go to church and still want to pray in schools.
On 1310 WDTW.
One of the most important elections being held on November 6th doesn't even have a Democrat, Republican, Green, Libertarian, or other partisan on the ballot. Yet, this contest in California will likely have a huge impact on national policy and on grassroots efforts to rein in the arrogance of corporate power that's running roughshod over too many Americans. That's why those powerful interests are going all out to win in California, bulldozing as much as $50 million into this one election, more than they're putting into some of the big money battles for U.S. Senate seats. What's the name of this popular populist candidate who's spooking CEOs of national corporations right out of their Gucci's? Mr. Right to Know. He's on the November ballot as Proposition 37, a citizens' initiative to require food conglomerates to label products containing genetically manipulated organisms. These GMOs, developed in the engineering labs of such biotech giants as Monsanto and DuPont, have had their DNA unnaturally altered and quietly slipped into hundreds of processed foods without even telling us consumers about the adulteration. Also, adequate scientific studies have not been conducted on the long-term impacts that these manufactured organisms will have on human health, our environment, and small farmers. So, a broad coalition of these people's interests came up with Prop 37. Not to ban GMOs, but simply to say that we the people have a right to know if the food and biotech profiteers have put these highly questionable organisms in the products that we put on our family's dinner tables. The people's proposal is a straightforward, easy way to empower every consumer in the marketplace, and the corporate powers hate that. This is Jim Hightower saying, for more on Mr. Right to Know's California campaign, go to carighttoknow.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
First Word.
First Thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. David Hecker, my guest, president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, is with me today. We are now going to go back to that movie that you referenced, David, a little earlier on in the program titled Won't Back Down. And I think that it's important that we talk on this show a lot about following the money. In this case, it's absolutely critical that people understand who put up the $20 million to produce a movie that was theatrically released by a major studio.
Walmart, a major funder of this movie. I'm happy to say that it had, you know, they take a look at box office and a movie opens up and what were the most successful movies of the week or the weekend. And this movie had the lowest, numbers. I'm sure this is controlled for inflation over time, but the lowest numbers of any major studio movie that had its debut. So, that was great. I mean, it is, you know, so the film, in the film, they have a teacher barking at students from her desk, using her cell phone during class, not letting the students use the restroom, put children in a closet as a disciplinary, measure, resist any changes whatsoever to education, and miraculously stays employed at the school district. So, you know, if you're going to be critical of anything from this movie, you should be critical of school administration for canning any teacher who would act like that. And, you know, I've said, you know, a million times on this show and elsewhere, are there teachers who shouldn't be teaching, who this really isn't the right spot for them? Absolutely. And, you know, they should be helped. And if they don't improve, that they should no longer be teaching. And that is, you know, that's the overwhelming minority. Every occupation has people who shouldn't be in that occupation. But to put out a movie like this, just like Waiting for Superman, only worse, that makes it look like this is every teacher. And, you know, public education is horrible. All teachers are bums. They don't care about the kids. Another thing in this movie is they assert that the union rules prohibit teachers from working past 3 o'clock. Well, you know, find me the contract in the United States of America that prohibits teachers from working after 3 o'clock. I mean, it's absurd. And they stated like, oh, this is what happens.
Right. Well, another part of the problem is that the way, at least the movie, I haven't seen it, so I have to be honest and say I haven't seen it, but what I've read about it is the parents then, quote-unquote, take over the school.
Right.
Everybody's seen the trailer, because they did run a lot of commercials for it. Everybody's seen the trailer. So then the parents take over the school because they see all these injustices happening. Their kids aren't getting an education. And once the parents charge in, they fix everything and everybody lives happily ever after because they're going to turn that school into a charter school and things are going to be great. Well, first of all, I have been a very engaged parent in my children's education from the time they were all in preschool. David Hecker, with all due respect to the parents that are listening that are engaged, the half percent that actually do something, I have yet to find a parent that has a set big enough to do what these people supposedly did. I'm sorry, parents run away from the school. They drop their kid off. They let you feed them, babysit them, teach them, change their diapers or whatever else, wipe their chin, and then they come back and pick them up at the end of the day, and then bitch if there's a snow day. So I'm not buying this for a minute. That's my opinion.
Well, you know, there are parents who are tremendously engaged in their kids' education. There are parents who would like to be, but because they're running out to their job or two jobs, really can't be. And then there are parents who just go to school, come home. That's it. And parental involvement is, you know, extremely, extremely important. But, you know, it's interesting when you were here and you broadcast a show from our national convention in Detroit in July, you had Judy Hale on, the president of the West Virginia
Federation. Oh, yeah, great story,
talking about the great work AFT West Virginia and our AFT National Union is doing in McDowell County, a rural southwestern West Virginia county where, you know, the mines have been closed forever and the poverty is unbelievable.
There's
and how
the movie.
The AFT has come in to work with the community and really, really enhance public aid. You never see a Hollywood movie about
wait,
that.
Wait. There's a part of that story. Not only did they've come through with a lot of money.
Right.
They gave them, I believe it was over $500,000 for a seed program to turn this community around. Mm-hmm. They're building, they're helping to build community so that teachers have a place to live.
Right.
David, you want to talk about the union stepping up and not leaving a community that's been left for dead.
Right.
It's the AFT in this community.
So where's Hollywood making a movie about that?
Yeah, that's really the point.
Right. And the truth, making a movie about the truth rather than fabricating a story that is not, you know, not representative whatsoever, but trying to make it look like it's representative and won't back down.
As you know, a lot of teachers listen to the program during the school year on their way to teach, and then in the summers, of course, when they are, you know, when they've got a little more time. And I want you to address something. One of the themes that came up Tuesday, and I was so honored that the Taylor Federation of Teachers asked me to come speak to them on Monday afternoon, was morale. Well, let's address that a little. I mean, you're their president. Let's address that because it's a serious issue.
It's a major, major issue. It's unbelievable how our members and members of the Michigan Education Association continue day in, day out to do the excellent job they do when, you know, you're working, you're working your hardest, you're going the extra mile, your pay is cut 10%, you're paying a ton more for health care. Other benefits you had are taken away, beyond all. So your class size is through the roof because of layoffs. You don't have updated books and supplies because of, finances. You have a state which would rather give an 86%, $1.8 billion tax cut to corporations than fund education. And then you're verbally abused by far too many quote-unquote leaders about, you know, all teachers are lousy and teachers are the reason why some schools aren't doing as well as we want schools to do. And you have to persevere every day through that. And, you know, teachers are human beings, too. And that they persevere through all those attacks is amazing. But morale is, you know, I can't say it at all-time low because I've only been on this earth for 59 years. But for as long as I've been with the AFT, which is a long time, over 30 years, I've never seen morale this this low. And for understandable reasons. It's tremendous credit to the teachers and the school staff that they continue to persevere.
Oh, there's no question that's true. And certainly part of the message I left with them, and you and I were talking about this earlier, you know, if we stop and think about it, everything begins with our teachers. Our doctors are because they had good teachers. Our presidents are because they had good everything happens because we have that influence. And without teachers, we have no society. We have no structure. We have no form. We have no memory. I can go on and on and on. And then this idea that we vilify this group of people who are expected on their own dime to continue their education, who, of course, don't have, quote-unquote, summers off, who are constantly working on lesson plans, who are still going into their pocket, even making less money to make sure that there's toilet paper and Kleenex in the classroom. And then you have this lack of support, not only from, quote-unquote, leaders, but even from parents. Yeah, it's tough to get up as early as they do, trying to raise their own families, David, go to school, raise somebody else's family, and then go home and have to take care of themselves.
And you make that point so well when you spoke to Taylor and wherever you speak. And it's, you know, the more I speak about Prop 2 and the specifics about it, I've also been speaking about it. It's really a question of what kind of values are going to guide this state. You know, is it going to be the values that guide this state, values of slashing the rights of working people, slashing public education, attacking teachers, attacking people in the building trades, undercutting worker voice? Or is it going to be a state guided by values of empowering working families, having fair and safe workplaces, having families in a situation where they could provide for their children, they could be out there supporting small business in the community? It's really, you know, Prop 2 really, in a larger sense, really comes down to a question of values and what kind of values we want to have guide this state.
Well, I obviously that's very true. I almost hate to bring this up, but I have to. There is an anti-proposal to ad that came out that's still airing that is nothing but a lie. David, the entire 30 seconds is a 30-second lie. I would like to think, and actually I'm doing some research on this with a national organization right now, so I'm not quite ready to reveal what we've discovered, but there may be some legal culpability on those television stations for running those ads. They are lies. They can't verify that information. And there is, as part of FCC guideline, a truth in advertising that they have to adhere to, especially not with candidates, but with PACs. And these are PACs that are putting, or individual groups that are putting these ads. I know you're very upset about that ad, so I have to ask you about it.
No, that ad, I take very personally for myself and for our members, because, you know, that ad, which is totally untrue, you know, comes across as if teachers, school staff, and their unions either protect sexual predators in schools or perhaps are sexual predators in schools. And it's an absurd ad. It's 100% false. There's a great ad up now with Wayne County Sheriff Benny Napoleon, Macomb County Prosecutor Eric Smith, a great police officer from Hamtramck, the Sheriff of Genesee County, saying that ad is ridiculous. If anything, collective bargaining protects the safety. But I take that very, very personally because it's a direct attack on the men and women we represent. And, you know, as a father, what that's saying to me is, forget about everybody else, that I don't care about my three kids.
Absolutely.
That's what that ad says.
We're going to come back and talk more about Prop 2. Folks, stay right where you're at. We've got one more segment in this hour. David Hecker, my guest. This is First Shift. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, well, you got me, David's got me wound up now. Proposal 2, let's just remind everybody, not that you shouldn't know by now, because we talk about it every day. We're going to talk about it again in the next hour, too. Proposal 2, of course, guarantees the right to collective bargain or the right to democracy in the workplace. Why people are threatened by that, beyond the fact that they just want to bust unions, they just want to put more money. And when I say they, obviously there are multi-millionaires behind the anti-Prop 2 movement. David, I'm offended by it as a citizen. I would think anybody that believes in democracy should be offended by this. Let the people decide, David.
Well, and you know, the anti-people are currently outspending us 2-1 on television. You know, they just want to, with ads that we just discussed ahead of time, which are blatantly, false, insulting, but blatantly false. And you know, people who are against collective bargaining, you know, the Walmarts are the world, many, too many elected officials in this state, too many editorial boards. One, they buy into stereotypes. They don't understand what collective bargaining is. They have no respect for the men and women who democratically elected their union, democratically decided what they wanted to negotiate. They really have no respect for management, really, because management comes to the table, and every contract is signed by labor and management. Right. So, you know, so basically what they're saying is management's a bunch of idiots because they don't know how to bargain a contract, and they don't know what they should really agree to and not agree to. You know, it's like so many changes in the laws they made to undercut collective bargaining, undercut rights for teachers, undercut the ability of teachers to stand up and fight for their students. The real answer to the, you know, the handful of problems that do exist that need to be addressed, like if any teacher came close to what is portrayed in Won't Back Down, is you have school administrators who don't do their job, who don't say, hey, let's build a record and show this teacher is not getting it done. Then let's take the steps we need to take to get rid of this teacher.
You know, one of the real dangers if we don't pass Prop 2, I want to just focus on safety for a moment. I'm not talking about just if you're working on a construction job. And I don't care where you're working. In fact, I there was a not that long ago in Ypsilanti, they private contracted their custodial services. They, of course, don't have a contract. They're paid $11 an hour. But there are certain regulations under the union contract that when certain work was being performed, there had to be more than one person. Those rules go out the window. Guys, custodians on a scaffold falls, breaks his leg, has to have a leg amputated. It clearly was because he was by himself. He should have never been by himself doing it because those rules go out the window. It's things like that Proposal 2 protects.
That's right.
It's not just safety on, as important as that is, not just safety on the job, it's safety in the community. I mean, there's an ad, running now, with a firefighter talking about how they collectively bargain for staffing levels, for proper equipment, so they could respond as quickly as they could respond, so that they're safe, so that they're better able to save people, God forbid, in a fire, nurses bargaining for proper staffing levels, teachers we've talked about many times bargaining for books and supplies and class size. That's what collective bargaining, you know, is safety of the worker, therefore safety of the person the worker deals with, be it a firefighter saving someone in a fire. We often say a teacher's working conditions is a student's learning conditions. It's also safety for the entire community.
So don't make light of this. A simple idea, guaranteeing a little democracy in the workplace, a simple idea that has such profound impact on everyone's life.
That everyone is for when it's another country. I mean, could you imagine if, back in the 1980s when Ronald Reagan was such a strong supporter of solidarity in Poland, everything the Polish government was doing to stamp down unions and Ronald Reagan was totally against that. But in this country, maybe democracy in the workplace is good in Poland or other countries, but I'm not so sure about America.
Ask the air traffic controllers. Right. Let's go to the phone very quickly. Mark in Birmingham joins us now. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, the problem with collective bargaining is that there's nothing democratic about it when the union dues are forcibly collected by the employer, especially in the public sector.
Yeah, when you know that, but Mark, you know that when you democratically elect to be in the union. So what's forceful about that?
It should be voluntary.
That's your opinion.
I'll also say, Mark, a couple of things. First of all, the union is only in there because there was a democratic vote and a majority of the people voting wanted the union. The only reason a contract is ratified on the union side is because a majority of those people voting vote to ratify the collective bargaining agreement. Secondly, no one is forced to join the union in the public sector or the private sector. They are not forced to join the union.
Well, that's why we're against this. We're for this ballot or against this ballot issue because we want more transparency. We want to end corruption and end coercion in the union dues collection. Give union members the freedom to voluntarily pay dues, voluntarily join the union. If you guys were for democracy, you would be against this proposal.
All right, Mark, I just want to say, I just said no worker is forced to join a union. That's a fact. We could ignore the facts. That's someone's right, but that's a fact.
Well, that's what Mark's choosing to do, is to ignore that fact. All right, Mark, God bless you. I appreciate you calling and listening to the show. I don't know how you tolerate me. You do this every day. I seriously don't, because he disagrees with everything that comes out of my mouth, David. I mean, he calls a lot. He disagrees with everything I have to say. You know, the reality, there are, you know, we'll play it this both sides. David, there are workplaces that don't vote the union in.
Yeah, no, there are the, it's unfortunate, but there are, first of all, there are many, many workplaces where the workers don't come together and don't decide they want to try to elect the union in. There are other places where there are, where a number of workers want the union in and the effort's not successful. It's democracy. It's what this country is built on. If democracy is the way to run our government, and it absolutely is, it should be the way we run our workplace.
All right. David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan. Thank you. Two weeks closer to Election Day. I'm sure we'll be having a very similar conversation on that day. But we got a lot of work to do. Thank you, David Hecker, once again. Let's take a break for the top of the hour. Christos Mihalakis in the next hour. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
This side of your rush hour commute, we picked up an accident on 96 eastbound at Wixom Road. It's blocking your left lane. And on 696 eastbound at the Bermuda Hilton exit, accident has your right shoulder blocked. We got slow traffic on 75 southbound between 14 mile and 8 mile. More slow traffic on 94 westbound between Cadieux and Van Dyke. And slow moving traffic on 96 eastbound between Newburgh and Farmington Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 76. Tonight, late showers and a low of 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 58. And it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.